Hey, hello. Hope you're doing well. Welcome back in, Mad About Movies, for another week. Not a movie this week. Little rants and raves action for you for the third time this year. The Disney Marvel people are dropping another series on Disney Plus, and what comes to mind, guys, I guess the Godfather quote of, you know, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. It's like every time I want to take a break from this thing, they throw another one of these series out there, and I'm right back in it, talking about it and watching every episode and looking into theories or whatever at the end. And so here we are to rant and rave about it. So welcome in, Kent here with Richard and Brian, full crew. How you boys doing? Brian, how's your summer going?
Busy, man. It's been a busy summer.
Yeah.
Lot, you know, summer for me is usually pretty chill. We, you know, maybe a couple of trips here, but most part just kind of trying to recharge and whatnot. And this summer has not really been that way. So I'm sure that bodes well for the fall. I'll definitely make it through the fall, you know.
Same. Yeah, I was looking forward to a normal summer in 2021 where I could just have a normal summer, and I did not get a break really at all. That's kind of where we are in this new world. Richard, you're spending a lot of time at the new cabin. By the way, I advertise that to the Man Fam here. If you're looking for a cabin out in New Mexico,
yeah, got a rental cabin.
Oh,
been out there a lot. We're back in the Big D now, though. So back in just in time for it to get to 100 degrees every day. So we
perfect
time that grind perfectly because I can't live without that. But yeah, busy too, man.
Well, busy. Perfect time to sit inside and binge some series, but you couldn't really do that with this one. They roll this one out week by week, which I really enjoy with the Disney Plus series. And it seems like HBO is doing that with some of their newer ones too on HBO Max. And so I like that. I know some people prefer the binge. I've got friends and family who won't watch something until all the episodes are out there so that they can binge it. Even if there's six episodes out there already, they still won't go until all eight are out there, for example. So yeah, that is where we are with Disney, is they'll release these on Wednesdays, which is, I think, pretty interesting. We're typically like a Friday night with new stuff, but they're taking control of Wednesdays, wacky Wednesdays, yeah, Richard.
Not since Tim the Tool Man has Wednesday had such.
Right? Must see TV or must Disney. Avoid Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Yeah, man. I think it's pretty bold. It usually was Fridays. I remember waking up and watching The Mandalorian on Fridays. I think that was pretty exciting, but I think they can probably brand that Wednesday as the Disney release day. Well, the problem is going to be they're going to have so many series that they're going to have to spread it out because they're going to have multiple series to release at the same time eventually. It's impressive how they've been able to weave this thing through. But yeah, all that to say, this quote-unquote TV show didn't feel like a TV show at all, and I just really appreciate that about these series, about these new series, I guess, since they stopped doing the Netflix ones, even though those were quality. This is more canonical, I would expect or assume. Mm. And so there's more attention to detail. They're paying more attention to all the Easter eggs and things that they put in the background. But these feel like a movie. I mean, they roll the daggum Marvel fanfare intro at the beginning of these. Like it's a movie. They've got the post-credit scenes like movies. Important stuff, by the way, that they put in those. That I'm not sure why they don't just put in the episode if it's that important. But that's another topic. But that's Marvel. And I guess I'll start there. Richard, is that just these series just feel like movies in and of themselves? They're 6-hour movies.
They do. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that because I barely like 2-hour movies as I get older. My attention span tends to dwindle. No argument with the quality. I mean, I don't find any of these to be a drag. And honestly, in a micro sense, they're easier because you go, okay, I got to hammer this an hour, especially when they release them. Okay, it's like shorter than a Marvel movie. But it's just when you look at it aggregated across a year, you go, all right, if I want to keep up with this, yeah, for this podcast, and it if I like this, I mean, if you're a hardcore Marvel fan, it's Christmas every quarter. But if you're like just a sort of tertiary Marvel fan, or you're like a podcaster that's got to keep up with a lot of different things in culture, it's like, oh, man, they were asking me before to do maybe 5 hours a year. They did two movies. Now I'm up to like literally a month of my year. I've got to do four, you know, or 40 hour work week minimum a year of just watching Marvel stuff.
Right.
And that kind of can be overwhelming. But when you look at it all like that, but it doesn't, when you're actually in it for an hour at a time, they don't feel, so far have not felt stretched, and they've felt, because they're getting real TV people to do these, they felt like, it doesn't feel like, okay, well, let's just, you know, let's not edit out a bunch of stuff from a Marvel movie and just make it 6 hours, 8 hours, whatever. It's
yeah, it does feel,
these are
dense.
Actual series, you know, it feels like TV. And so, I mean, all credit to them on that. It's just, again, when you look at it from the outside, you go, oh, man, okay, I'm going to, I guess, quit my job. I don't really know. I guess I'll take a week of vacation. We'll catch up on Marvel, which is,
well, some of these are, you know, like 30 minutes long, which I think is pretty nice, you know. But what I really have appreciated, Brian, as I throw it to you, is, you know, when you go back and watch a TV show that you grew up watching on DVD and all the commercials are cut out and it's got these weird, like, pauses in between scenes, you know, like this typical structure of, like, a typical TV show, you know, a 22-minute show or you know, a 40-plus-minute show, if you're going an hour, you have to follow certain guidelines. Like, each scene has to be maximum of 7 minutes and it has to flow in a certain way. Like, there are restrictions to television, right? This does feel like they've completely shattered the mold of, of, we're doing TV here. This is a TV show, a Marvel TV show. No, this is a Marvel movie split into six parts on Disney Plus is really what it is. And this is doing, they are doing a second season of this. So we'll have to see. But these do feel like self-contained stories, and just the overall tone of them is just so far from TV. And it was so apparent with Loki.
Yeah, the production design alone. Brian, I know it's your turn. But that, yeah, no,
totally.
And they're like, this one, and even WandaVision to an extent, like, kind of rewrite the canon immediately, you know, in a lot of ways, in terms of what is really in charge here, especially with this one, right? With the, with the timepiece and all that. So you go, okay, not only is this... this is not secondary content. I mean, this is like kind of the narrative now.
Yeah, I think they learned a little bit from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on that.
For sure.
Of trying to, I mean, they really tried to make that into a big part of the MCU, to the point that, you know, one of the movies that we're talking about this week in the throwback episode is Captain America. We're talking about the Captain America movies, and Winter Soldier, you know, directly impacted Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and kind of vice versa. And then I think after a while they figured out this doesn't really work, because we get like 100 million people go see this movie, and
it's like a
5
different
million
fan base
people watch the show. It's hard to keep those things together. They've kind of flipped it at this point with these three shows. It's
did you write that out, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Brian?
I know I didn't watch, maybe last summer, sometime during the pandemic, I re-binged the whole thing, you know, had plenty of time, and I watched the last, and I think I'd found that the last two seasons I hadn't watched previously.
But you have now.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. It was fine. I mean, that show was fun. It was a
better
was
or a, worse than the Orville?
Than the what? I'm
the
sorry,
Orville.
Which one? Oh, I kind of like the Orville, which is a terrible garbage opinion, but.
Remember the Inhuman show that Marvel did? That was like one episode. Look that one up, fans, if you didn't see that when it came out.
Is the Orville still on, or is it coming back? Or
I think it is eventually.
It's supposed to be coming back, but it's going straight to Hulu.
It left because of COVID, and then I think it's coming back on somewhere else. Yeah, but
it's Hulu exclusive when it comes back for season.
That'll be on for like 20 more years, as long as...
Yeah, probably.
Probably get bigger on Hulu, because people will binge the other seasons, so...
But no, I think something that they learned from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was to, you can program the TV shows to sort of fall in line with the movies, but it's harder to have the TV shows I guess what I'm trying to say is have the movies follow the TV shows. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is for hardcore fans and maybe like 30% of the rest of the audience, something like that. We're not going to get all of the audience. And so this is sort of an expansion on those big properties. And that's what I like.
Yeah,
I think
you know, it's adding more context.
Like, Yeah, you can explore different areas. You can kind of, you can take these familiar characters, and this is a great example, I think, of, I mean, yes, this will have some impact on the canon of the movies moving forward, but it didn't have to. I think it could have pretty easily just had this be a Loki series and that's it. It doesn't really play further into the rest of everything that's going on and stuff, and it but it still is high quality and really entertaining and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, they're smart to use these very familiar faces and names and characters that we really love. I think that was another issue with S.H.I.E.L.D. was just like, okay, Coulson's cool, but like the whole show, I don't know. But but to do that, you can kind of find a, I don't know, you can explore some stories that might not be broad enough for their movies or that definitely need to be expanded. Like, this is one to me that did a very good job, I think, of kind of hitting the sweet spot between the, sometimes when you do the, hey, we're just, this is a 6-hour movie, you know, you get to a place where you're like, cool, but it should have been a 2-hour movie. That would have been a lot better. And to me, this wasn't the case. This was a story that actually did well for having the extra 4 hours of runtime and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case. So I think they did a very good job with
this. Yeah, it was really tight. It was really well written and it was really well paced and stuff. And they kept the pacing up throughout the 6 hours. I mean, I watched the second part of this in one sitting. The first part I watched as the week by week, but then I let them build up and watched the second half of it in one sitting. And it felt great. It felt like a movie, you know, it felt like a really long movie, but the pacing wasn't any episode in there that I was like, man, this episode sucks. Skip, you know, it really all felt necessary. And I like that. But what I also like about these Marvel series, when comparing Loki to WandaVision and the Falcon and Winter Soldier, is that they're all different shows. They're all completely different styles of television shows. And yeah, they're Marvel and yeah, the characters tie in, but I feel like they're kind of targeted towards different demographics in a weird way. You know, I feel like the WandaVision was kind of targeted towards families. And I feel like Falcon and the Winter Soldier was targeted towards more progressive minded people. And I think this was targeted towards, you know, I hate to say it, but like nerds, you know, honestly, people that are just super into the dense comic book nature of the timeline shifting. And, you know, this reminded me really of Doctor Who. I mean, it's like, let's do Doctor Who with Loki in terms of the science fiction and jumping around to any place in humanity on Earth and time, whatever, you know, the endless possibility of that is what's intriguing about Doctor Who. And I think that they nailed that with Loki. So let's talk about the character of Loki. I don't know if you watched yet, guys, the little special that they did on the making of this, that they release on Disney Plus the week after the finale. They do like a little 40-minute. They've done it for each of these. They've done it for Mandalorian as well. But they're definitely worth watching. They're very well done. I almost look forward to that as much as most of the episodes. But, you know, Tom Hiddleston's talking about, like, he auditioned for Thor and didn't get it, but was very excited to be a part of it. And he was 29 when he first played Loki. And now he's, like, 40 or 41, and he's still playing Loki. Like, he's just constantly playing Loki, and he never thought that anyone would care, and that the fact that he went to Comic-Con and Kevin Feige had the idea of, like, him going out dressed as Loki on stage, and, like, the entire crowd just, like, basically bowed to Loki, and they said that was the moment where, like, okay, we probably need to do something with this or keep him around. And that's why he kept popping up. Super fun character, interesting character, always added stakes to the equation. You know, the God of Mischief. What more can I say? I love Tom Hiddleston's portrayal of that. I think he was written really well. I think they used him in the movies enough, not too much, or they kind of sprinkled in villains, other villains here and there, Thanos as well. And so, yeah, it added a fun element to follow throughout, some consistency with the antagonists throughout, because he was kind of the first big villain of the MCU with the first Avengers movie. So, sure. Brian, where do you fall on Loki, the character? Do you give a crap about him at all? Like, where were, you know, we talk about tiers. Wanda and Vision were at the bottom. I think Falcon and Winter Soldier were way towards the middle for me, more towards the middle. Where would Loki fall on you?
Yeah, I was
for you. Sorry.
I was very out on Loki out's not the right word, but like I think he's pretty boring in Thor, and in Thor 2 as well. Like I think Whedon did a good job of making that character actually menacing in the first Avengers movie. And to me, I was like, oh, okay, like this guy can do a little bit more. There's been times where I'm like, I'm kind of tired of Loki, and part of it is just the perpetual, he's dead, no, he's not dead, oh, he's back, okay. I don't know, after a while, that kind of gets old. I know it's a comic book movie, and comic books do that kind of stuff, so, you know, whatever. It's not that big of a complaint, but there's times when you're just, you know, when they announced this whole phase of shows, I was like, ugh, okay. I mean, I'll watch it, and I'm sure they'll be pretty good, but, like, I'm not super interested in Loki. I hate Vision. I'm on record as he's the worst character in the Marvel movies. I love Elizabeth Olsen. I wasn't super sold on Wanda and like what we're going to do with her. I don't know. It seemed like these are kind of, and then Hawkeye was one of the original ones too. I kind of forgot about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I think I was most excited about that series of the whole bunch, but it just seemed like cool. I mean, we're just taking three of the worst characters in the MCU. I'm not super sold on this is going to be a lot of fun to watch week to week. But I don't know. Loki's grown on me. Thor Ragnarok, he's so good in that. Hiddleston's great, and I think that's a part of it too. Like, he's kind of won me over the last few years, and to the point that I mean, I think he'd be like a great Bond. There's just
He kind of he hurt your lady. Or T Swifty.
No, oh, you know, hey, we got some music. Yeah, who hasn't, though? So it's all good. Yeah.
Cash register people that have hurt her feelings.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I say that as a fan.
Yeah. Yeah. And she made a great song about that, that cash register person. I think that he embodies that character really well. Like, he really takes to the, how do I put that? Like, he truly loves playing this character, it seems like. And he's very serious about kind of marketing the character in a way. I don't know. It's gotten to a point where the two of them almost blend together, like character and actor, into one person. And I really like that person. And so that kind of helps a little bit as well.
Yeah.
But I do think he's, there's times where I feel like he's kind of wasted in the MCU. When you really get to play into the Loki-ness of him, he can be a lot of fun. That's why I think Thor Ragnarok uses him the best, maybe. And then there's some good examples of it throughout the Avengers movies. But this is like, I don't know.
Ragnarok, you're talking about Matt Damon's Loki, right?
obviously. I'm always preaching the virtues of Matt Damon.
The best Damon performance ever, honestly.
So good, man.
Turn you into a frog.
So good. I've gotten to the point where I was kind of looking forward to this, and I think that this is just a really good example of when you use the character correctly, he can be a lot of fun. When you're just like, oh, cool, he betrayed them and died. All right, fun. You know, that gets a little bit old. But the movies, I think, have kind of figured that out a little bit, and then this series just full on is just doing Loki stuff, and it's a good time.
Is that similar to Chris Paul stuff, or how
it
does
is?
That work?
It's very similar to Chris Paul stuff. So I had to move Loki up on the Pantheon rankings. He's now number 9 for me, Richard. So, I may adjust after the weekend.
Yeah,
we'll
this
see.
Show he was flying up my pyramid as well.
Yeah,
right behind Kevin McHale.
Well,
all right, hold on. Okay, no, I just changed it again.
If Lynn Bias had lived to be in the MCU, man, just really takes it to another level.
You know, I think, Brian, I think Marvel completely understands fans' frustrations with those characters, with Vision and you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier, and maybe with Loki. And I think they do enough around them, and they're going to do this with Hawkeye, especially in Black Widow, we saw putting great characters around those characters. So it's not just them trying to carry this thing. You've got these great ensemble casts to carry these shows. You know, you had Owen Wilson in here. Sylvie's great in this show as well. You got Gugu in this show, who's fantastic all the time. So, I mean, I can't complain, because it's adding more. It's basically giving these characters who don't have movies. You know, you're not going to do a Captain America TV show, probably. You're not going to do a Thor TV show, probably.
It's just so funny that it's like, you're not big enough. Just in the world we live in now, where everything is sort of some kind of streaming content.
You're not big enough for a movie. You're not big enough
for 2 hours, so we're going to give you 8.
Yeah, that is funny.
It's like a
almost more, it's almost, yeah, and it's way more time for them. Like he said, right. they spent like, I don't know, over a year shooting this, or close to a year, yeah. The whole year of 2020 shooting this, this thing. So yeah, it's a huge commitment. And, you know, back to the Coulson thing, just as we dive into this, it's like back then they couldn't afford anyone for TV, but Coulson. It's like he was the peak of the Marvel talent that they could get at the time. But now they're willing to invest in a show for Tom Hiddleston and Elizabeth Olsen and all these big stars, mm-hmm. and right. put in the capital and make these shows great and great production and CG and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, very impressed on the outset. Yeah. So let's get into the plot of Loki. Now I was under the impression that WandaVision was kind of a maze, but this one was definitely a maze. I didn't know where this thing was going. Every week I thought something else was going to happen, and then something else happened, you know, it kept me guessing the entire time. Whereas Falcon and Winter Soldier was much more, I think, by the books down the line, knew what to expect more in that series. So definitely threw me for a loop with the various timelines and where that was going to go, Brian. Or what did you think about just the approach to the show and the plot in and of itself with the TVA?
Thought it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this. I'm going to give it a very good grade. It's definitely, of the three, it's definitely better than Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I don't know if this one's better than WandaVision or the reverse.
I know, I'm torn on that too. It doesn't have Catherine Hahn.
That's true. It has different beautiful people than WandaVision does. But I do think that this is one of the things that kind of drives me a little, not crazy with it, but it's like every time they do the timeline thing, I'm like, okay, but this, you're on thin ice here, buddy, you know? And so this one really kind of takes it to another level. The alternative timeline thing is real risky, I think, every time you do it. It gets complicated. You run the risk of like being too smart or the reverse of that, kind of like of putting together a plot that actually doesn't make sense if you pull at the thread by just, you know, just a tiny, tiny bit, things like that. It's just a lot to keep in your brain. And when I'm already keeping in my brain 25 movies worth of content and stuff and trying to remember how this relates to that and how all these things go together and whatnot, it's I guess what I'm trying to say is real cool for a season. Man, it's going to be tough to keep going down this route, yeah. if that's what they're
going to do. Season two. Yeah, it did surprise me that they had committed to that, because I wanted all these shows to be one-offs, to be quite honest with you. I don't know where a season four of Loki is going to go.
Yeah.
But I think they've written him off in the movies. You know, I think they wanted his last moment in the movies to be what it was. Mm. And it is what it is. But, you know, they kind of cram this between, or what is it, in Infinity War, where he disappears and they're like, what happened to Loki? They're doing the same thing with that they do with Star Wars. It's not that you're adding on to what already exists or taking it in a direction. You're just cramming something in between. You're wedging something in between there. You know, I think that's a fun approach.
Yeah, I agree. And they did a good job of structuring it. Like, I don't know what season two of this looks like, let alone season six. But it is well structured and set up to where this could be a whole lot of fun. Like, I mean, you mentioned the Doctor Who thing. I told Richard pretty early, like maybe after two episodes, I was like, this feels like if Terry Gilliam was sane. Like it just has that kind of vibe to it. Mm-hmm. I get the Doctor Who thing as well. It's fun and it could be a lot of fun for many more episodes, I think. But I just think there's a possibility, at least, of...
Kind of has a Back to the Future vibe,
too. Diminishing returns, yeah. I mean, everything has diminishing returns the longer you go on these seasons. There's very few shows or that have been better in season seven, you know, than they were in season three or whatever. I mean, it's just the reality of the situation. But this could get tiring fast if, like, I know Kate Herron's not coming back to direct the next season. So if you get somebody who's not a, not just doesn't get the character as well or has some idea that doesn't really work. I mean, I'm just trying to say, like, it could go south real easily. But they did a great job in season one of putting together a structure that should allow it to move forward, assuming that they hire the right people and the people make good decisions with the writing and the characters and all that kind of stuff. Maybe that sounds very basic, like obviously, duh, like every show is that way. But I just think the potential to go south is higher with this because of the kind of density of the plot line. Exactly. Does any of that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and they already did this with Endgame, with the time traveling stuff, sure. You know, and kind of retconning some stuff, so to speak. Right. And not that they're opening up a can of worms, but I think it's more of a means to an end because they wanted this Kang character involved, right? Jonathan Majors. Mm-hmm. And well, how do we get him involved in an organic way? I think it was through Loki. I think what the whole point of this series was to introduce that character at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And he'll have a huge impact, I think, on the rest of what's to come. And so, yeah, I think the key to that was through like a familiar character. And I agree. I think there was a big chance, a big risk for this thing to get convoluted. And it did early on for me. I think episode two or three, I was like, I don't know what's going on here. You know, I think I watched episode two and three twice in a row because I had to rewind myself on kind of where this was going. And I was worried that they weren't going to stick the landing and that this was just going to, you know, no pun intended, but just trail off the timeline a little bit and just kind of and be somewhere where I didn't care anymore at the end. And I thought they stuck the landing. I don't want to get spoilery, but I'll just say that. I thought they stuck the landing in six episodes. I mean, nice, tight, quick, good arc, good characters.
I do like that it was six and not eight.
Yes. Yes, that was key, too. That was nice. And, you know, this series really did kind of hinge more on the humor / action side of things rather than more so than the other two. I think they went way more for the comic relief type stuff with the missed minutes and with the whole TVA thing and having Owen Wilson being such a big part of this thing. I think they knew the tone that they wanted this to have, and I think the tone was perfect. I didn't think it was too dark. I didn't think it was too cheesy or anything like that. I thought they nailed the tone of what this should have been overall. But let's get into a little bit more of the timeline here. So it really was like a Schrodinger's cat kind of a timeline where it's like realities on top of realities and who's controlling this reality. If we're controlling that reality, that, you know, Google that if you want to go way down that wormhole, no pun intended again. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely a chance for it to confuse the viewer. And I think Miss Minutes is a clever, like Mr. DNA.
Yeah.
I think that's exact, probably homage to that character in Jurassic Park, where somebody's here to explain everything and make sure everybody's on the same page about what's going on. And they use it in a cool kind of AI way in the show to make it more organic. But I liked that a lot. And when I saw the poster for this, we talked about it in our Discord, by the way, on our VIP club. The poster came out, and I was like, wow, I'm excited to see how they use the animated Bitcoin. I'm like, I don't know what is this about, but I'm excited to see what this is going to be. And it worked.
Looks very let's all go to the movies, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody posted, it's the Waffle House mascot. If you go to Waffle House, they have the exact, just with the waffle instead of a clock, but it's crazy.
Yeah. But we've long held the suspicion that Waffle Houses are actually the sort of
the TVA.
It
might
timelines.
Be the TVA, yeah. Right. Definitely some weird stuff that occurs there late at night. Yeah, if you go
for sure
ever go. It's so funny waking up on a Sunday and you see Waffle House trending. You're like, oh, something went down last night. Let me see what kind of video.
Someone got murdered.
Yeah.
Someone either got murdered or is paying off a fantasy bet.
Jumped over the counter to kick a guy in the head again. Yeah.
Right. Best case scenario, a trucker left a $400 tip for a waitress. Best case scenario. Nothing else.
Right. Yeah, that's the only thing is Michael Richards, Nathan for you bit of somebody just leaving a huge tip out of nowhere at a horrible restaurant. But yeah, that's something that I appreciated this is they can get some exposition out of the way in a non-convoluted, boring way. And they did it with Miss Minutes here. So it was cool.
Yeah, I loved Miss Minutes. I thought that was a really smart MacGuffin to kind of just do some explanation of everything that's going on without it. And it felt true and kind of organic to the setup, I think. It was a really smart idea.
What did you think about the multiple Lokis? Like there's the variant Lokis, you know, like this.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was fun. Yeah, it was super fun. And it wasn't too stunt casty, which would have been an easy wormhole to fall into. I mean, sure. There was a little bit of stuff, but like everything kind of felt on the nose and earned by the story and all of that. So it could have, I was a little nervous when it started happening a little more frequently that it was going to be a little stunt casty, but it wasn't.
Yeah, like Gator Loki was the best.
Your boy, Richard E. Grant, too.
Like I know. That's hyped. He's so perfect, though, because he's just a very Tom Hiddleston-y kind of person.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was a great
Richard E. Grant casting. In the old costume, too, was such a great touch. I loved that. Yeah. And Sylvie, we need to talk about this because they talk about Nexus events, right? Like what event shifted the timeline to make you a variant or whatever, right? And so they're trying to figure out what Loki's Nexus event and it ends up that he falls in love, the unexpected, and it's so funny, and then he finds out she's a Loki, and Owen Wilson's like, you fell in love with yourself, of course. That's the most Loki thing ever is him. He's so narcissistic that he would fall in love with a version of himself.
Like MacGruber with Vicky.
Yes. You know. Like, I don't know. You just look really beautiful tonight. I don't know what it is. I like that a lot. Really nice. That's a great reveal too. And, he doesn't know that. And that all happens as well. So what did you think about Eliath, Brian?
Kind of, I mean, like it was like a combination of the nothing, from Neverending Story and, what's the bad guy in Doctor Strange? I can't now. I've lost what that thing is.
Yeah, I don't think I've watched Doctor Strange since we did our episode, and I'm gonna rewatch it for our upcoming VIP throwback discussion here this year. But yeah, I could tell. It reminded me of visually like the sand monster from Aladdin. at the beginning, where the lion head comes out of the sand, and like that's what it reminded me of, or the mummy, Brendan Fraser's running from the sand monster and the mummy. But I thought it was a cool visual. I wanted to see more of it.
Yeah.
Like I thought they did a good job of keeping it kind of mysterious.
Yeah. I thought that they used it the perfect amount. Like having it's there, it's creepy, it's you get like it's the smoke monster on Lost, you understand what it's doing and the devastation that it's creating. You get that great scene with Richard E. Grant Loki. That's really cool. I think it was a kind of a powerful sequence. But I think I would have gotten tired of it if that was the end monster, or if we spend another episode with that. I think I probably would have gotten a little tired of it. So I thought they figured out how to use it efficiently and then got out of it at the right time.
Yeah, man, it's been such a through line with the post Endgame movies is this fakeness of everything, right? With the Spider-Man Far From Home, right? Everything's revealed like, oh, it's all, kind of fake, right? WandaVision, it's like, oh no, you're on a set. This is very much the same way where, it's a Wizard of Oz scenario in this, right? that Wizard of Oz scene with the, where they chop the heads off the timekeepers. And they said in the behind the scenes that Wizard of Oz was a big influence just in the surreal nature of it. You never really know the origin of the place and all that. And so, yeah, I wonder what that's about. Like everything has to be fake. Like nothing can be real anymore. And everything has to be an illusion or some dude in a costume somewhere doing something. I think that was kind of something with the what they did with Ben Kingsley and Iron Man 3, and that didn't really work for them. But it seems like they're really doubling down on the fakeness of the world and false reality and that whole aspect of things. So I'm interested to see where they can go with that. Maybe they got a great Endgame in mind.
Hey, whoa.
Wow.
You just did that.
Professional radio man, ladies and gentlemen.
Sipping my drink. Sipping it.
Dormammu, by the way, is what I was thinking of at the end of Doctor Strange.
There you go.
So, that's the weird.
Quantumania, by the way, is going to come. It's going to tie directly into this, I believe. So, yeah,
the sequel to Listomania, right?
So, isn't that with that's Ant-Man, isn't
Quantumania.
It?
Quantumania.
There's no Multiverse of Madness is what I'm thinking of, not
they're
Quantumania.
They're replacing that with Ant-Man and the Bee, with Barry
Ant-Man Beans. And the Bee with
They've
Barry
They've already Beans. Made that canon, yeah.
The sequel to Aquila and the Bee.
Right.
Ant-Man and the Bee.
Yeah. It'll pull that in.
It's too. A spelling bee Ant-Man movie.
Yeah.
It's Hank Pym's a genius, but can he spell?
They're really waiting for to
Ant-Man and the
they're
Bee.
They're running out of IP to synergize over at Disney. We thought they couldn't.
Yeah.
They
Ant-Man and Ants is going to be really weird.
Herbie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ant-Man and Ants with a Z.
Doctor Strange and Herbie. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Let me see what else I got on my notes here. On
you got any more thoughts on Herbie or no? Okay.
We're due for another Herbie, right?
Here's another thing. Very weird to see Tom Hiddleston like try and fight all the time. I don't know. Something about it doesn't work for me. On like a
Night Manager helped that.
Yeah.
Watching that helped me.
I don't know. Maybe it's the long hair because I bought him as really badass in the Godzilla movie or the King Kong movie that he did because he's awesome in that and like a action hero kind of guy. But maybe it's the long, like, he looks like Gabe from The Office trying to fight. You know, it's like so lanky and pale and tall. It's like weird, you know? I don't know.
I have seen over 800 horror movies.
Yeah. Length. Elongate. Yeah, it's very weird. So that was a complaint. Also, in terms of the fighting, can we get a fight scene with a shot longer than a second for once?
No, it's impossible.
Is that possible ever? Once a shot longer than a second. That's my only ask. One shot longer than a second during an action scene would be great. It didn't happen in this whole show, so.
Yeah.
Be great. The style, one man. Second that's is all I need. That's, one second where the camera, except for that one shot, where it's just yeah. cool at the end, you know, where they do the one shot scene running through the town and the tower's coming down and not at the end, kind of in the middle where the planet's being destructed and they're trying to evacuate everybody in the timeline. Yeah, that was a really cool shot, but that was like the only thought out action scene. Everything else is like, all right, well, we're going to fight, we're going to shoot it, and then we're going to edit it. You know, there was no real plan of attack when it came to pre-visualizing some of the fight scenes. Maybe they didn't have time, sure. But man, some of them are sloppy. That's the way the fast movies are. It's like they put all these time into the car scenes and then like when dudes are punching, it's just the camera's just cutting and shaking everywhere. I don't like that.
But. You got to keep changing the camera angle so that guys look the same height. You
know? So that, yeah.
It's tough. I get it. Yeah. I mean like this series is, it's of a certain style. And so,
sure.
The fight scene stuff doesn't bother me. I don't get too into, like, the fight scene for me pretty much in every movie is like, that's fine either way. Like, I don't, it's not something that I tend to focus on too much, but
otherwise you're too aroused.
Right. Exactly. It's like it's a distraction technique for me, but, you know, the rubber band on your wrist, you know, where you pop it, but no, I think that, I get what you're saying, Kent, and it annoys me a little bit in other properties. I felt like it was kind of fitting for this one. I think that the quick cut and it's just that's kind of the style of this particular show. I would have liked more fight. I think they could have done a better job with the fighting in Winter Soldier, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That was the one where, especially with Sebastian Stan, I mean, that his character is so physical and stuff that I felt like we could have used a little more of, I don't know, like really choreographing
the John Wick style fighting instead of like
the John Wick style or something, or like Jason Bourne without the shaky cam or something like that. We could have done a little bit more of that with this one, but this one, it didn't bother me so much. It just, that felt like of the style of this show.
Yeah. I mean, you ask a guy to be a villain in a movie, and he never really fought much in the other movies. Yeah. I felt like he had that sure. cane, I mean, and he looked, was just like
right.
sicking his aliens on people, and now he's asked to like put on a wet t-shirt and punch dudes, and like it's just different. Well,
I'm
Loki
when I'm one. But no, I think he looks cool fighting in Thor Ragnarok. But yeah.
That's just the best use of him at all.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, overall best yeah. use of him, and like the slow-mo with Zeppelin in the background and stuff, like it works for him in those settings. I think the quick cut action maybe is less so. But Richard is right. If you go and watch Night Manager, which I think is on like Amazon Prime, little side recommend for our listeners.
Is it? Nice.
I'm pretty sure it's on Amazon.
I thought it was HBO, but
no, it was it was an AMC series, right? I think it was AMC. Yeah.
Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that will that recast him a little bit in my brain. Like I was having a hard Same. Time with the whole James Bond thing idea of him, and then I watched that and I was like, oh no, I get it. I totally get it now. Like this.
Ooh, I never thought works. About him as Bond. That could be awesome.
Yeah, he'd be a really good.
Yeah,
Bond.
That'd be really.
But
cool.
I wasn't sold on that prior to watching yeah, it's on Night Prime. Manager. Yeah, check that out.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Sylvie too, and her arc in this story of trying to find the person who kidnapped her as a child and made her into this variant version of herself, you know, and she was running away and she could never accept reality for what it was and always thought, you know, there was always another layer to things. And it's like, well, I'm going to go find God basically. Mm-hmm. And she does. And I thought that was a very emotional, really great ending to this series. I really did. And I don't know where it's going to go. I'm excited about that. The See You Soon thing was cool. We'll get into that. But yeah, I thought she was as important to this show as Loki.
Yeah.
The real Loki. Hiddleston. Yeah.
100%. And Sofia DiMartino, excuse me, she's very good. Great casting. You mentioned previously, Kent, one of the things they're doing really well with these three shows so far is surrounding the person or persons that we know really well already with just a solid.
Aren't they adding Florence? They just added Florence Pugh to the Hawkeye show. That's yeah, what I guess they're so. Implied with, yeah. with Black Widow at least.
That amped up my anticipation for that.
Her
show.
Her and Haley Steinfeld in one. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll take just yeah. them. So we don't even need Renner. yeah. Just do the Hawkeye chick show. I'm in on that. Like
right.
we don't need to keep attaching ourselves to the past, like really. I mean, we do, but I don't know. I'm excited we'll to see these new, characters excite me more than Loki. Like I'm more excited about Jonathan Majors now than I'm where Loki's going to go now. Yeah. So
right now I think they're doing a very good job of torch passing and, or allowing for the opportunity to torch pass. Cause you do need to get away from some of these characters eventually. I don't ever read comic books, but I'm pretty sure Hawkeye with Haley Steinfeld's character, that's pretty central to the comic books. Like that.
I think she's going to be the handing off the torch.
I think I remember that correctly, but somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But
for that,
yeah, so that makes some sense. That one is the one that makes the most sense to me as a season one. Jeremy Renner's here. Season two, he's not, or he's less involved, and you know we're moving into these other characters or something. But we'll see. I don't know. Marvel, Kevin Feige tends to have his own plans and ignore
what he's doing.
And notarized letters and stuff. So,
yeah. So, let's talk about Jonathan Majors, man. You know, high expectations for that, but I mean,
he's awesome, man.
You know, I watched that scene with the subtitles on just to see what was written on the page and kind of what his interpretation of that was. Mm. I mean, this guy is bringing something to this character. I'm telling you what, you know. Bringing something of his own. It's not just like, wow, it's like the Coens where everything's just written as it is, or and you say it like that and it's just beautiful. No, like he's really adding his own charisma and his own spin on this character, because you can go any direction with it. And I love the take on it, and I'm excited to see where it goes and more from this character. That was a great teaser for what's to come.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, Jonathan Majors is great. I mean, that's not really under under the radar casting, because I think he's about to be kind of a star. But he is a really, really talented actor and has a lot of charisma. They did.
He'll have an Oscar someday. I'll throw that out there.
He's good, man. He's really good. So I'm very excited. I mean, that might have me more into the potential of season two than anything else from this season. Just that, we come back and when Loki comes back, he comes back into a world that has been kind of overtaken by King.
Interesting Planet of the Apes really kind of cool ending stuff. There.
Yeah, 100%.
The the Burton one though, where that's like the statue of the Lincoln Memorial is the ape. It was kind of a weird callback to that. It felt like at the with the statue at the end. But that was a cool reveal. I liked that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, should be fun. Should be a fun season two.
Man, the aesthetic of this show, the production design. This is gonna win some production design awards. Oh my gosh, the TVA so cool. Looked incredible. That hotel is the Marriott in Atlanta, where we stayed a couple times. The big, the main atrium of the TVA is. So if you ever go to Atlanta, stay there, and you can stay at the TVA. It's a
they really love cool Atlanta, hotel. The Marvel.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. Shoot all
credits,
of it,
baby.
There. Yeah,
there you go. So wow, where do you guys kind of end up on this? Let's talk about the ending here. First of all, Sylvie, has this confrontation with the ruler of them all, or what do they call him in this? The one to end all.
He who remains.
Yeah. Yes. And so she has a confrontation with that, and Loki's like, "I don't want to take the throne. I don't want to kill him and take the throne. I want you, babe." She's like, "Oh, Loki." Mwah. And then she just kicks him through the door and takes the throne. I liked that. It's just, Loki at his finest. Loki's going to Loki,
Very Loki.
She Loki'd him. She Loki'd Loki. Mm-hmm.
He got Loki'd, as it were. Yes.
Yeah, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, she'll take the throne, kills he who remains, and see you soon. We'll see you down the road. We'll see where this goes. So now, like Brian said, we're in a timeline where he's the ruler, and we're in this alternate timeline in this version of the Loki. And I'm assuming we'll have an effect on space-time and other aspects of the MCU, Eternals and Guardians, etc. So we'll see. We'll see. This, I guess, to wrap this up, guys, this made me care more about Loki. Mission accomplished.
Yeah. Now it's a matter of what they do with that game. Because we may not care again. The problem with Loki for me was I always liked him, and it's definitely kind of the most up my alley of maybe all the Marvel characters, but his overuse is what killed me. And if I'm now 16 hours or whatever into Loki in a year, I might feel that way again.
For sure.
Yes.
Even if it's well done.
Yeah, no, I think that's spot on. I think he is a character that can be overused quite easily. I mean, I don't feel that way with some of these guys. Like, you can put Thor in pretty much any of these movies, I'm going to be happy with it. Especially the new Thor, the post Dark World Thor. I'm very into what, and I think he's pretty versatile where you can put him on in within the Avengers and the MCU and stuff like that. Loki can get tiring, so use him effectively, and then I'm 100% with you, Richard. We don't need him popping up every second movie. We need to kind of contain him a little bit where it does get overkill.
So next, coming up, believe it or not, we have two more series this year to get through. We have Ms. Marvel, that's slated for late 2021, and Hawkeye, of course, slated for late 2021 as well as What If. I don't know if you've all seen the trailers for this, but talk about alternate timelines. This is a cool spin. Yeah. I don't know if it'll have anything to do with the canon at large, but it could be a fun little series. 10 episodes that debuts August 11th, so just 2 weeks from now, man. They give us a week break and then give us another series, man. It's impressive. That's incredible.
Coop is super pumped for What If.
Yeah, I like that.
The trailer's like, man, that looks really cool. So he's been asking me couple times a week, like, Dad,
the Creed song, though, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What if?
He's always listening to that on vinyl on my record player. I'm like, dude, can we get it?
Yeah, we have to listen to it vinyl because you'll lose so much fidelity if you listen to that digitally. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
And we have Miss Marvel, Hawkeye, and then 2022 we have Moon Knight, She-Hulk, and Secret Invasion. And then we have Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special in December of 2022. So it looks like three series next year and a holiday special.
There's cool probably three. Three sounds good.
Yeah, probably a season two of Loki is like
crammed somewhere
2022
in there.
Or it says
TBA on date.
Yeah.
They have a Wakanda series in development as well. And then something called Ironheart and something called Armor Wars.
Mm.
So we'll see what those are about. But yeah, we're 2 years away from those, or a year and a half away from knowing what those are about. So, but yeah, I would say in the immediate future, Miss Marvel and Hawkeye will have some immediate impact on the movies that are coming out in the immediate future, the Chloe Zhao movies of the world. Right. So, all right. Let's grade this bad boy. Let's end this rants and raves. I've ranted enough. I'm going to grade this thing out at a solid A, man. Didn't blow me away, but it was about as solid could be. So I'll give it an A. Brian.
Same. Straight A for me. I think that it's definitely better than Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I liked quite a bit. You can go back and listen to that episode if you want to, but I liked that and enjoyed it. Excited for whatever they want to do with that, but I think this is better. I think that here's where I'm going to sit, Richard. I think WandaVision had higher highs, but consistently Loki was probably a tiny bit better than it was over the course of 6-8 episodes, whatever it was.
Gotcha.
A for me. What about you, Richard?
A for me as well. I enjoyed it. Sure I was going to, but I kind of knew halfway through episode one. I was like, all right, this is cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Goodbye. Especially since there's only going to be 5 or 6. Yeah. It's well done. Set it up quickly. Got going.
Mm-hmm. You love Terry Gilliam and Doctor Who. Those are two of your big loves. So
same.
Makes a lot of sense.
I would probably still put WandaVision as my first. I still love that. Mm-hmm. I just think it's so inventive and different. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I like more between Falcon and this one. I need to rewatch Falcon and Winter Soldier too. I didn't dig into that one as much as I dug into this one, like in the watch. I just kind of absorbed it on the surface layer of the episode, but I plan on rewatching it again because it was extremely well done. All right, there it is. Let's hit a quick weekly recommend before we get out of here.
Weekly recommends.
Okay, Richard, what you got?
Yeah, I'm a little late on this one, but I'm going to go ahead and recommend it. I've been crushing these the last few days and week or two. I can't remember if we've talked about this. Are you guys Lupin watchers? Lupin? The French, like... No,
in-laws are, I believe, though. They were telling me about this.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah. You guys should. I highly recommend it. I think you'll both really dig it. And it's like 10 episodes total for 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. So you can hammer it out. Brian can do that in a
the Sherlock thing. Sherlock scenario where it's real.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it reminds me of the most. It's kind of a lot like Sherlock. Yeah. But very good. Very, it's dubbed, but you don't really lose much at all. Watch the dubbed version. It's not annoying really at all. Lead actor is about as charismatic as it can get. Good story. Each episode's about 45 minutes, and they do a great job of keeping all of those really tense and thrilling and fun. It's like a really well-paced, cool show. But I think you guys will both be in about 10 minutes into the first episode, so you'll dig it.
Nice. I didn't know it was dubbed. I know that it's worse to watch a dubbed version of stuff. I understand that, and people will yell at me, but I also can't. I don't have the time to sit and watch and read my way through, and I just get so distracted so easily. So
yeah.
I need the so
yeah I did the I do the I'm a exercise bike and watch shows kind of guy, and so it's to read and do that is annoying too, so that's why I dub it, and it's I'm pretty sensitive to that, like if it's really annoying, and they do a great job of obviously you're probably is some stuff lost because you're not getting the full, they're trying to match the lips, they're always going to err on the side of having it match versus maybe the full sentence, but I've thought it it's great, so
sure. Sweet.
Brian, what you got?
I'm going to recommend a book that I just finished. It's like a little science fiction book that came out last year sometime. I think like right before the pandemic. It's called Providence by Max Berry. It is a, it's just a little, it's a science fiction novel about a very typical kind of alien race has come to destroy Earth. So we have to destroy it first. And to do so, they build these like 3 mile long spaceships and crew them with like 4 people. Like they're very AI automated spaceships with crazy weapons and all this sort of stuff. And they basically have crew on the ship to send back social media clips to like inspire confidence in the war effort and stuff like that. It's very Heinlein-y, I think. It kind of reminded me a little bit of like Spaceship Troopers and some of those books. So it's like, it's not a, I read probably 10 to 20 science fiction books a year, and most of them are like, that's fine. It's like a B plus. It's better than that. It's not like an all time classic or anything, but it was a pretty easy read. And I thought that he did some, I thought he took some really kind of classic sci-fi tropes and updated them really well. Like it felt like a 1950s science fiction book through the lens of 2021, but in a good way. I don't know if I'm describing it very well, but yeah, it was a solid read and I enjoyed it a bunch. So Providence by Max Barry.
There you go. Trust Brian, the sci-fi guru on that. He's read more sci-fi books in the last 2 weeks than I have in my whole life. So
if you don't like Dune, he will come to your house and fight you. Yes,
Totally understand.
Well, I'm going to recommend a doc, the Woodstock 99 doc.
Yeah.
Guys, did you watch this yet?
I did. I watched it last night.
Oh,
I'm halfway through it. Yeah.
Oh man. I'm both impressed and ashamed at the same time, because I vividly remember this weekend and watching it all and the coverage and the pay-per-view and the MTV, all of it. You know, as a 12, 13 year old, I was very much into the, wow, I don't like the Backstreet Boys, so who am I going to like? Well, Limp Bizkit, Korn, and Blink-182, of course, you know. And luckily, I've grown out of that for the most part, and that's great. But, man, I've always thought that, you know, there should be a doc on this and leave it to Bill Simmons and co. to bring it to us with HBO. And, man, some great footage here.
Where does it rank on your pyramids of documentaries, like within the last 6 minutes? I assume you've updated that. Would you say like top 13?
Top 13 documentaries?
Mm-hmm. That's a really normal round number, so we'll just roll with that.
Yeah, no, I would not even begin to know where to rank this on my top documentaries.
Tier six of your top
13?
That'd
be a fun list episode at some point, though, we need to get to our favorite docs. But I tend not to include them on my end of year lists, but I do watch a lot of. I'm where Brian is on the sci-fi books with documentaries. Documentaries. I love them. And if anyone ever has a recommend on one, please shoot it my way. But this was really fun, man. Nostalgic look, and also a horrible look back at just.
Yeah.
You know, I think somebody put it best. I can't remember who it was in it, but it's just the middle-aged, you know, college white guy who's pissed off and he doesn't know why. And just one place to just take out all that rage was that weekend. And I mean, it's awful. Just the assaults, the injuries, the dehydration. I mean, there are already 2 docs made about Firefest, and it took them 21 years to make one about this thing, you know? And of course the guy that, the promoter's like, oh, it was great. It was a fun weekend.
Yeah.
You know,
that was
very odd.
I don't want to blow. I'm not going to spoil it for Richard. The tone deafness of the 2 promoters was kind of shocking. Like, it was just like, what are you talking about, man? Like it was,
they couldn't
admit
that it was out of control ever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy, but I was very pleased with the footage they had. It was really interesting, and seeing some of those bands, because I'm saying, like, I remember that being such a huge deal.
People look back now and they're like, God, what a terrible lineup. But N99, those were the biggest. No one wanted to see anyone more than those bands. Right. Trust me,
the music from that era is freaking terrible. It's just a terrible, terrible. Like the whole new metal.
It keeps going just 5 years longer than people wanted.
Yeah, 100%.
People are like, yeah, we got over that 99. It's like, nah.
No, we didn't. There's a lot of just terrible music from that period, but that does not mean that it wasn't the biggest ticket, you know, at the time. Like that was a huge, huge deal that all those bands were there. It was sort of successful. I don't know. It was a strange thing.
Yearly reminder of how insufferable Fred Durst is on.
He's the worst.
Basically every level.
The worst. That was my biggest takeaway was
Piven Moby.
That's what I was going to say. What's funny to me is like you had primed me for Moby being in it. And I was like, oh my gosh, the most insufferable Piven kind of guy ever is Moby. And he was. And Fred Durst makes him look like Mr. Rogers. he's so much better than Fred Durst, who just is a terrible person, I think. Especially
great director, though.
Great friends with Travolta.
Yeah.
He's got that going for him.
Yeah. Good doc, though. It was I don't know.
Here's a question for you, Brian. Right word, if you had to eat dinner with one person, would you rather eat dinner with Fred Durst or John Travolta? You had to.
Fred Durst. Because I think he's a terrible person, and I think we could pretty
quickly... Just don't
quickly,
order cookies.
You can just talk about Beastie Boys for an hour, you know?
We could pretty quickly start bagging on John Travolta together, I feel like. So we could bond over that. Yeah. Surely I could get him within 3 minutes talking trash about John Travolta. That'd be in a good place. So.
Yeah, man, but it is a sad kind of summary of that youth during that time. You know, at the same time, it was a niche of society, but it did represent us in a large way and felt like a prequel to recent events in a certain way, too. And... I mean, certainly a shock. It was a more shocking documentary than I expected it to be. Like, I expected it to be like, wow, what a crazy time. Instead of, I was like, wow, that was awful. I'm so glad I wasn't there.
No, I totally agree. There was a little bit of, there was a little overwokeness with some of it.
Yeah.
And then the flip side of that is I wish they would have drawn a little more of a clear through line between that group of people in 1999,
the 86 Celts,
and maybe where they were over the last 5 years, you know, like I feel like that there's a pretty good, pretty easily defined line between those two groups. And that was something that they kind of hinted at, but they didn't quite just carry it all the way through. And I wish they would. I wish they would have taken 10% of the woke energy about. It's real weird that in 1999 we weren't super woke, and instead kind of pushed that to like, okay, well, what did this lead to? Where did we go from here? That would have been my preference. But overall, I thought it was very well done.
So there you go. It's on HBO Max, Woodstock 99. It's called Peace, Love, and Rage.
And it's going to be a series, right? Like not on Woodstock,
music.
But on
Music other... Box. They're doing an Alanis Morissette one, a Kenny G one, a DMX one. A Juice WRLD, and one or two more, I think, as well. But
LMFAO, maybe, hopefully.
They announced it a couple of years ago, and then it went dormant for a while, I assume because of COVID. But I can't remember what the other ones were.
Yeah. I saw a trailer today, and I know that there's a Juice WRLD, a Kenny G, a DMX, and an Alanis, and then there's one or two more.
Chris Ryan is doing one on a band you've never heard of, Brian.
Oh, cool.
So. Is there one on Spin Doctors coming? we need Bill to get... How did Bill not show
Jurassic
up in this?
Jurassic 5. Okay. Pavement?
Well, it wasn't Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, how has he not wedged himself into every documentary, though? That's what I want to know. Maybe that's part of the contract. You can't be in. Can't be on camera anymore. He was in the Andre the Giant one a bunch, which I really enjoyed together.
Yeah, it's Alanis Morissette, DMX, Kenny G.
You know he has thoughts
Robert
on Kenny
Stiglund.
G. He's going to be in the Kenny G one.
I love Kenny
G. So do I. I can't wait.
And then Mr. Saturday Night, which is about disco, and this guy Robert Stiglund. And then Juice WRLD.
Got it. Okay. Well, that's Woodstock 99. That's Weekly Recommends. That's Loki Talk. And I hope you enjoyed it. this little rants and raves. We normally do these on the VIP. So if you want the WandaVision one and the Falcon and Winter Soldier one, we did those on the VIP. Subscribe at aboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP for around $1 a week. Gets you access to that, gets you the Discord access as well. We just added a channel to that this past week called Perfect Shots, where people are screenshotting moments from movies that they really like. And it's been awesome to see the variety is what surprises me about it. The variety of different things people find appealing in movies. And so that's been a really fun addition to the Discord as well, as that cinematography channel that we added. So thank you to everybody who's contributed to that, and keep sharing your favorite shots from your favorite movies. We'll be back next week with some more movie talk. But until then, we'll see you at the cinema. Bye.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me yah-yah. The salads and scrambled eggs.
They're calling again.